Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to KingScottRadioTV.com. That's right, we are going to rock you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's get started on our show today, Just the Men Talk Radio Show. What we are attempting to do is to add some clarity to society as to what men are thinking, how we are processing information as we are husbands, boyfriends, you know, the boo. We're going to be asking our two guests, Rob and Darren, some questions about just being a man, what it looks like, how it feels, what is their definition. Because believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, everyone has a different idea of what a man should be. So we're going to go to Rob first. Rob, can you give us an idea of what a man should be from your point of view?
So from my point of view, I honestly want to start with saying that this is a great question. Took a lot of time. And the main thing I leaned towards was the biblical term of love. Fulfilling all of those characteristics of love is everything I would like to be as a man. And those things I have is, you know, being patient. A man should be kind. He shouldn't envy. He shouldn't boast. Should never be too proud.
So when you say being kind, what about when you're being taken advantage of? Don't you have feelings too?
Definitely. But one thing that you should always be as a man, or try to be, is understanding. And that way, you're not easy to anger. Sorry for that. And that's also a feature that I, you know, like to throw in there as a character of love. Keeping no records of wrong. The ultimate protector. It's a lot of avenues I could go up, but these are the main ones.
That is a good point of view in a sense of being slow to anger, because that is a biblical principle. It's actually in the Beatitudes of behavior from a Christian point of view. And since all of us proclaim to be Christian men, we want to put it out there like that. Darren, how would you address that issue?
I would like to say that, to me, one of the main things that I try to do as a man, or try to emulate as a man, is being observant. A lot of times you have to sit and look at things before you make your decisions, before you take action. Making sure you have all the information, making sure that you know what you're going to do and whether or not it's the right thing. So I try to, as a man, just be very observant, you know. Another thing is I try to be self-aware. What will my actions do? What will be the effect of this? If I go this way, what could happen when I go this way? If I go that way, what could happen when I go that way? So one of the key things as a man I try to do is to just be very observant.
Well, the reasoning of it all, coupled with what Rob's point is how we mix it up and make it something beautiful.
Yep.
It's a process, and it's not always understood. One of the things that I have understood in my path of life is that men and women are not the same. We're not wired the same way. From a biblical point of view, men are made from the dirt, where women are made from our rib, which is the more sensitive part of the body. As a matter of fact, biblically, it's the only part of the body that has to heal itself. You can't put a cast around ribs. No. They have to literally heal themselves. Now, as we inform ourselves into Christianity, which is what we proclaim, the adjustments that we have to make, because sometimes things get on what I call our reserve nerve, the problems of life, the things of this world that irritate you. The next question that I would have for you is, what does being a husband mean to you? And we're going to let Darren go first on that.
Sure. Before I answer, I'd first like to say I've been married for 5 years now. Shout out to my beautiful wife. And in reality, I had no intentions of getting married. Where I grew up and the people around me, the thoughts and stuff that I gathered from marriage, it didn't exactly seem appealing to me, you know. Maybe it's just I'm a product of my environment or whatever the terms that they usually use. But as I got older, I wanted to, as they say, settle down. And I realized, like, the way that I want my life to go, the things that I want to do for myself, it's a lot easier if I'm just dealing with one person.
So would you say that there's value in being a husband in the 21st century?
Definitely, definitely. Like I said, we all have different upbringings. We all come from different walks. One of the main things is just the day-to-day operations of life, being a husband, knowing that there's someone else just there to take care of you, just to have your back. There's a lot of things as men that we have to worry about. So knowing that there's someone there to help ease some of those worries, it really helps.
Well, Rob, the responsibility of being a husband, you have some attributes that could shed some light to other young men. The attributes of being a husband from your point of view would be what?
Just being in the position of being the ultimate partner. Like my brother over here, I never foreseen marriage. You know, my grandparents were married for sure. Didn't come from a married household, but it was never something that one valued like one did one when they wanted to have kids. Like for example, I knew I was going to be a father, but I never envisioned marriage, and I guess it was something that I had to go through life and see and learn about. And so just being the ultimate partner to one, going through everything, ups, downs, sickness, health, you know, trials, everything, you know, everything that factors into it. That's what it means to be, you know, the ultimate husband for me.
So statistically, there are more women than there are men, being that you guys are handsome. It affects your attention span. Sometimes it gets difficult focusing on the family. You get lost in the aviance of being outnumbered. And that's something that we don't talk about because we know it's been considered foul to have more than one woman. But Darren, you said earlier, the significance of being with one person, but you bring yourself to that. That's not something that came with you because nope. You were single far longer than you were married. How would you give that legs?
I would say, like I said, I'm a very observant person, and I've seen where the stuff like that can go really bad for whether it be family, friends, or just people that I know from the community and so on. So me deciding to get married was based on what I have seen around me. What I saw around me and me deciding that for what I want with my life, this is the best way to go. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy, but I'm saying that there is a way.
Right? Well, now, Rob, I know a little of your history. You are a sportsman. You work with kids, and a lot of those kids that you work around have mothers, and they are in the mix, and they're looking for a good, strong African-American man to help them hold on. Now that you are fully committed, talk about the complexities of that, because people don't know. It's not just us hunting them. Yep. We are hunted.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. You have to recognize the devil and how he works in order to maintain a strong, loyal, you know, marriage. All in all, you know, the devil is going to be dressed in sheep's clothing. It's going to look real appealing. You know what I mean?
You mean they come dressed in tight jeans and high heels?
No, I'm talking sundresses and tight jeans. Well, all in all, you know, we have to, you know, keep that tunnel vision. We can't get distracted with those outsiders. We have so much more to live for and you know, that's counting on us and you know, it, to fall subjected to something like that.
Well, Darren, you are from a different continent, and the customs that are here are not so prevalent where you are actually from. But the makeup is still the same. You still run into that temptation of people approaching you because they see something that you have within you that they want to be a part of. But from your cultural point of view, what would you have to say about that?
Yes, it's definitely very different. I'm from the Caribbean, so whether it be the music or just the way in which our customs are set up, the idea of having like more than one, I don't want to say partner, but having more than one relationship, to say, it's very common. What you have to do, well, what I did is I weighed out my options. Like I said, I'm very observant. From what I've seen around me, those things usually end badly, and I didn't want that for myself. So with that being in mind, it was a lot easier to make certain decisions and to follow certain paths of just going towards having one partner and getting married.
A lot easier to manage, too.
Yep.
Yes, yes. And the fact that you use the word relationships, mm-hmm. we have relationships with everything. You have a relationship with the lamp because you want it to turn on, but you know if you don't pay the bill, it won't be turning on.
Yep.
with a man's life, we tend to get overlooked at the stress that is involved. And the next thing before we take a musical break I would like to touch on is fatherhood. What does fatherhood mean to you? And we're going to let Rob get in on that.
Okay, excuse me. So fatherhood, to me, as I mentioned, I knew I wanted to be a father before I even considered marriage, as backward as that sounds. it allows me to be a hero.
Yeah,
like it allows me to be everything a person would want to emulate, look up to, you know, strive to be. It allows me to set an example. To me, it's everything.
Well, I like to mention to all the people that are listening that Rob here is in shape, so he's cut, and that matters in as you're grooming the next life, because we all have to start from somewhere. But in the Caribbean, it seems that there's more unity than here in the United States side. Would you be able to agree with that, Darren?
Yes, I'd like to agree with that. For one, I think it's because it's a lot smaller, so everyone knows everyone, which helps make it more of a community. So my kids would know your kids, or mm-hmm. your kids go to the same school as my kids are. My dad works with your dad. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the relationships and so on, they're kind of close-knit because it's a small community and everyone knows everyone.
That's awesome. Well, look, we're going to take a musical break here, but we're going to let Rob give you the station phone number so that if you want to call in, you can, and we can talk about some of the issues that you have.
Telephone number is 301-362-7552. Give us a call.
That's KingScottRadioTV.com, and I am your host today. And we're going to give some shout-outs as well, because we all have children. We want them to know that even though we are talking the man stuff, we still want to mention them so that they know that they are loved. We'll be right back.
Here's my routine. I have retired from the late scene. When midnight rings, I'm in bed listening. I wake up at 5, run by the river till the sun. Everybody knows I'm disciplined. I just have one bad habit, only one bad habit. Yes, I do. Yes, indeed, I do. I just have.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Michael Franks, and he was talking about having one bad habit. We have a surprise here I'm going to give to our two guests. We know that the drugs in our community is prevalent. A lot of kids are overdosing. Just earlier this week, with another hat that I get to wear as a pastor, a young man was buried at the tender age of 26 from an overdose. And, you know, we as men trying to learn to do the right thing, and in many cases we're doing the right thing, we see our communities failing. So I'm going to ask Rob about that, because he is in the sports arena. He's a coach. And along with a few other hats that he wears. And we're going to ask him about that and what he feels like some of the solutions, because we know the problem, but what are the solutions? Rob?
Okay. Excuse me. First and foremost, definitely praying for the family of the gentleman in which you had to bury. But it's far too common. It's far too common. It's so much that one could try to explain that would essentially help this scenario. But just for starters, just more things for these kids to get into. I mean, he was 26. So, for the most part, we label him as a child, but he's an adult. He should be a man. One which is recognized as one. But it's far too common. And I feel it starts at a young age. Mm-hmm. It starts at a young age. We got to train them up to the way they should go. Whether you're putting them in sports or church or school or, you know, just keeping them active. I ride up the streets way too often, and I see kids by themselves, 5, 6, 7, just riding up, no parents in sight, and it starts there. You know what I mean? That type of dependency, that lack of guidance, you pretty much just throwing your child out there. So I would say just making better places for the kids at young ages, start grooming them up, putting them in church, letting them know moral values, you know, self-respect, and then just, you know, keeping them engaged. Don't let them slip.
So with you being involved with sports, what messages are you getting across them? Because one thing with sports, it's always a team effort. If you don't have a good quarterback, the ball will not go downfield. So what are some of the things that you're doing? Because we want people to know being a man has a lot of responsibility outside of the family home.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just giving them a different perspective, giving them a positive outlook, giving them a chance to learn what a team means, giving them a reason, you know, to say no. And if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for your brother next to you. You know what I mean? Starting those moral values at a mm-hmm. young age, you know, because generally birds of a feather, once one friend do it, he's going to try to pull you in. So if you can just eliminate that bad apple, then you might save an entire group, which might end up being an entire community, which might just transition into the entire school. You know what I mean? So it's pretty much just holding value to the little things, not looking for peace in anything but God and yourself.
Amen. Amen. Darren, I'm going to get back on track here. What challenges do you feel men face in the 21st century?
For one, I'd like to say one of the biggest challenges is expression. I'm an 80s baby, so I've seen the transition of what things were during the 90s mm-hmm. to the 2000s and so on. One of the big things is technology. So you find where once ago when I was a kid, we were told to, you know, go outside and play. Mm-hmm. And that in turn would lead to us being interested in sports mm-hmm. and climbing trees and stuff like that.
Yes.
In this day and age now, it's the kids are always on their computer or their tablet, so there's a lot less physical activity. And then at the same time, kids are spending a lot of time by themselves. So that in itself is an issue that we're facing and something that we have to deal with.
Well, Darren, I'm glad you said that, because in my guesstimation, kids are spending a lot more time, and we as parents don't always know what they're spending their time with. The internet
yep.
is connected to the world. So your kid could be watching pornography or something that is ungodly. One of the things I think about a lot is the type of games that they play with the stealing cars mm-hmm. and the machine guns and the shooting people. See, they see it in these video games, and then they go out and try to emulate it.
Yep.
And that is one of the issues that I have. But yet, technology is needed. You have to be efficient at it, because that's the future. So from my point of view, in looking at church activities and how the internet interacts with the kids, we have to literally be sneaky and look at what they're looking at. so that you can catch it and address it. And some people would say, well, you know, they should have a right to their own privacy. Well, when you're living under somebody else's roof, your rights are very, very limited. And, you know, sometimes we give them too much liberty. So as a parent now in the 21st century and us being men, we have to make sure that we know what's going on, because the ultimate thing that happens is they end up getting themselves killed. This person that I eulogized just a couple of days ago, I don't think he was 50 pounds in his casket. And you know, the family is crushed and hurt, but he didn't have to be there. So we have to be sneaky. I endorse being sneaky. Find out what's going on in your kid's room now. And if there's a privacy issue, take it up when you get your own home. Then you can be as private as you want. So, Rob, what would be your idea on what men face in the 21st century?
I would say just false idolizations, you know, idolizing the wrong people, and then trying to meet others' expectations. Those were the two things that really, you know, pulled at me when I was thinking about this. And you know, you see a lot of young men, and they got their pants sagging. Still, pants sagging. They might have a double cup. You know, they sipping on the lean. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's all starting from what they're being exposed to and what they think is okay and what they think a man should be doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, and that just, you got to be careful at who you let raise your kids.
Right,
whether it's
right.
YouTube, whether it's the hip-hop community, or whether, you know, it's the streets. You know, groom them up the way they should be. And I feel like those are the biggest things. It's not enough peace in the communities. Everybody walking around so angry. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. They don't know how to just let things go or laugh things off. Everything, you gotta, okay, he disrespected him, and you got his man tapping him. Like, so what you going to do about it?
Right.
You know what I mean? Trying to live up to his expectations.
Yep. Right.
You know, so, you know, just be your own.
Well, I you know, this notion with the baggy pants, that's actually a prison term. Mm-hmm. It comes from the prison. That's where it was born and bred. When you wanted someone to know that you were available. This is a men's show, so we keeping it real. That you was available, you wore your pants off your behind, and that let the other prisoners know that you are available. So how this came out of the prison and became a fad, and still is a fad, I will never figure that out. But I'm not supposed to figure out everything. I'm supposed to be a part of the solution, and if I need to carry the water, I'm willing to do that. So the last question before we wrap this up, because we want to make sure that, you know, we want to say it, keep it real, so that you'll come back and know that we're not going to tie you up for the whole day. What advice would you give Darren, the young men of today?
Okay. I thought about this, and one of the things I'd like to say is the Bible says that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I would like to encourage the youngsters out there to go and learn things, educate yourself, seek information, and not just in school. Speak to the elders, speak to your grandparents, try to find out what they had to deal with, and then compare it to what you're dealing with to try and get like some ideas to where you want to go as well. A lot of the things that these young people are facing is because they're trying to do it their own way without the information.
Wait a minute, Darren. See, See, somebody is listening to this broadcast and they say, oh, he done went holy on me. And now he's so heavenly minded. He ain't no earthly good. He don't know what it's like to how this feels and that feel. I'm talking to this person right now. You can either listen or not listen. When I was doing this eulogy the other day, the name of the eulogy was "You can either do this or you can do that." So listening to this wisdom that we're trying to get across to you is important. And the Bible has those principles in it. Now, you can get with it whether you want to or not. It's your choice. But what you're hearing is the real deal. Because at some point in time, whether you want to be young and get to be old, that's a process in and of itself. So I appreciate what you're saying. And do you have something else to give up?
Let's see.
What about working? Because I see a lot of people just flat out, they don't want to go work at McDonald's no more.
We are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. So in this 21st century, there's so much available. There's so many avenues to get paid, to get things done. And the thing is, because of stuff like the internet, it cuts the amount of research you have to do, like 75%. You could go and have like an issue with your car, you want to change your radiator, instead of going to see a mechanic, you could watch a 10-minute video
right
on YouTube and learn how to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So another thing I would tell them is make use of the tools available to you.
Yes.
You're very, very fortunate to be in the position that you're in today. And just go out there and try and be yourself, you know. Stop leaning towards others. Look within yourself and try to find some stuff that you know, okay, I'm about this. Then, if I'm really about this, how can I go and make this better?
Right. Now, I know certain things, and I know Rob is... is down there in the mud with some of these kids. He sees some damage that I don't look at every day when he's coaching them. You like, wow, where did he pick up that habit? You see the aggressiveness, the disrespect, and he has to work through that to get the concept of team effort. So Rob, what do you think? What would be your advice? Because you in it, brother. I mean, I think personally, before I let you answer that question, personally, I think if I don't treat you right and I go to heaven and God says, you know, you ain't do everything I told you to do, I think he's going to put me in a room with a bunch of kids and they're going to be screaming into eternity. So I need Rob to get up in there and work some of this out. But go ahead, brother.
The main thing I tell these kids, the kids in particular, because I deal with the young, just slow down.
Right.
Everybody just needs to slow down so you can, one, understand what's going on, understand what's being asked of you, and understand, you know, what you're doing. But in regard to the young men, because I came from a place in my... You know, I came from a lot of the places that these people are at. And when I say that, I'm talking about the block. I'm talking about not wanting to work. I'm talking about, you know, not sure will I be able to produce more money staying home on the block, or will I produce more money going to work?
Yes.
It was ignorance.
Right.
It was pure ignorance, because before I knew anything about financial literacy, it was just what I was exposed to. And so once I started working, I learned about a 401k.
Yep.
I learned about an IRA. I learned that the richest people in this world, that's how they got there, through investments. The richest people didn't come from the block. You know what I mean? So if I could give these young men any advice, whether it's McDonald's, because they offer a 401k. Yep. I think they match maybe 1 to 2, 3%. If you know anything about that, learn about what it really learn about what you really value. Because a lot of these kids, they just want money, and I get it. You know, you want to live a lifestyle. You want to come out of a certain circumstance that you may have been subjected to, and that the streets is not going to do that for you. So go to school. It sounds cliche. Go to school. You know what I mean? Get that job. Invest in your 401k. Go to your bank. Inquire about an IRA. And see if your finances, just from that alone, don't take you further than any block would.
Right, right. You know, this show is going to go into a lot of different things. Darren and I have talked about some investments. You can take $50 and become a millionaire. I know nobody say he ain't telling the truth. He calls himself a pastor, but he ain't telling us the truth. But I'm telling you the truth, and we're going to talk about that in a future show, because the world is getting ready to change. The way the money works is getting ready to change. So, gentlemen, I just thank you so much for coming and talking about these issues, and we're going to do some more. It's not over. We're going to be 15 rounds slanging and banging. But in closing, you know, I know some will say, well, you know, he says he's a pastor, but he didn't open it up with prayer, because I wanted to be free will. I wanted to be something that we talked about, and I wanted it to reflect real life. Now, we can close out with a prayer, because this is a blessing into the community, into the future. So I'm going to ask, because, you know, a lot of times I get asked to pray, and I'm like, I'm not tired of praying, but somebody else need to pray sometime. I'm going to ask Brother Rob to take us out in a prayer, and, you know, just keep in mind that this is King Scott RadioTV.com, and we are coming to you hard and strong to do the right thing. Go ahead, Brother Rob.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you today just thanking you. Thank you for the breath of another day. Thank you for the opportunity to make it through. Thank you for the roof over our heads, food in our fridge or in our bellies. You
know, yes, yes, yes.
Meeting all of our needs. We ask that you just continue to be with us throughout the day-to-day, and just continue to groom up our young men, our young women, just our future, and just continue to just thrive and allow for us to just manifest and live in your word and your will. And thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
This has been King Scott RadioTV.com. We'll be back now real soon. You hear?